Trials come, people can be weak. Negative feeling can arise within. They may lack clarity on the will of God, or the path that's best for them to practice. But you must have faith in God to work just like Job, who was weak and cursed his day of birth. Yet didn't deny that God gives all things, and that he
is your faith is required. So I guess y'all can give me an amen to make sure that you can hear me okay, because I always got to make sure my mic is working, because, you know, again, anything and everything to stop this, you know, he's going to try. He always does, you know, but we're not going to give him the benefit to do so. If it does, we keep on trying. We keep on pushing forward. So, again, folks, my signature opening. Sarah, thank you for being here. Appreciate seeing you here. Dot, again, I'm surprised that you're up so early in the morning, but again, it's wonderful to see you, because again, as I just said, you know, I do look forward to seeing folks here, and because when I do, at least it gives me some comfort that, you know, I'm not doing this for nothing, you know, and I'm grateful for the the few who keep showing up here, you know, but we got so many people in this chat room. I wish they would start joining it more and start attending these things, because, again, I'm not trying to brag, but, you know, whenever I'm led to these messages, they're for a reason. You know, like I told y'all a while ago, the one last week, again, you know, personally, it was my own personal dealings with what I call a spiritual walk. I've been talking to many of my friends here in town and people at church, and I have backed away from some certain things in church because I told them, you know, using an Australian phrase, you know, I went on a walkabout, but I had to get into what I call a spiritual cleansing. And I had to really start examining myself and asking those real hard questions that some Christians are afraid to ask. And I saw some things I didn't like. So I knew I had to get along with God, get into prayer, get into reading and studying and asking Him, well, let's purge these things. Let's get rid of them, because I don't want to be that way. I don't want to act that way. I don't want to talk that way. I don't want to live that way. I need to do what I need to do for you and let my relationship be better with you. And if there are some things that you got to point out to him, then do it. And he has. So I'm glad that you're here. I wish other folks would be here for this. But again, you know, I welcome you. And again, we're led to another word. Again, this one also I've been dealing with. And I think a lot of you today can relate to this. And those of you who listen to these sermons online, I don't know your name, but I welcome you for listening. I hope that you get something out of these messages. Because, again, I'm not trying, like I told the pastor last night, you know, I'm doing a Facebook Bible study. And I was led to do that, and I'm trying to do that, but I'm not doing it to point things to me. I'm not doing it for Jimmy. I'm not trying to do it for recognitions. That's not my goal. My goal is to try to get the Word of God to people who needs to hear it. That's all. Same thing with these messages. Folks, I'm not here to stand before you, and yes, I do stand, in case if y'all wondering. I'm not here to stand before you to show you that, hey, I'm a preacher. I'm not here trying to make a name for myself. I'm not trying to get no recognition because I don't want it. I'm only doing what I feel I can do to try to get the word out for anybody who wants to hear it, and I hope that it changes their lives. That's the goal. That's all I'm shooting for, trying to be a messenger for God. So again, this was something I've been dealing with. I started on this message, man, years ago, and I never finished it. I tossed it aside because, you know, I felt it was going nowhere. But yet, you know, when I was digging through some of my archives, you know, and I saw it, and I saw a few paragraphs, you know, I kind of, the way my messages usually starts off, I start off with kind of like a draft. I start with kind of an outline, throw a few scriptures on there, then, you know, I kind of meditate on it. And then I start searching, I start reading, I start studying, I look at commentaries and this and that. And before you know it, the Holy Spirit kicks in and starts, you know, with the cut and paste and everything else. Before you know it, we got something going. And usually throughout the week, I work on that. Now, I told y'all about the message about joy. Do you have it? Or who stole it? That one is a two-month progress. I've been working on it for 2 months. I think I'm almost done, but I'm not quite sure yet, but I don't want to rush it. But here tonight, when you hear the word trials, does your heart race? Do you dread that word? Do you think, I don't like them? Or better yet, what comes to your mind when you hear the word trials? What do you think about them? Or how about this? How many has suffered hard times when going through such trials? How many has suffered hard times when going through such trials? If you're like me, we always hear Christians say things like this. I've been doing everything right. I've been fasting and praying, giving, loving my neighbor, obeying the Lord, reading scriptures daily, going to church, walking faithfully with the Lord. So what did I do wrong? Why has God allowed me to go through such hard times? God, why are you allowing me to go through such hard times? And usually this pops in. He does not care about me. Or, am I saved? To be honest with you folks, we all felt a little something like this. All of us have. And when enduring such trials, remember this, most important. Be on guard, because when you're asking all these questions and questioning God, Satan will try to attack. Satan will try to attack. And he will say, no, see my child? He doesn't love you. Look at that. See, look what you're going through. God doesn't love you. Or he'll probably whisper in your ear, oh, look at those unbelievers. Look at them. They're not going through no adversity. They're having fun. They're enjoying life. Everything's going hunky-dory for them. See? You're having such a hard time, but they're doing good. But you end up saying, well, wait a minute. Jesus died for me. And you say that to your mind, and yet you are still going through one of the worst troubles in your life. Folks, don't let the devil give you fear. Do not let the devil give you fear. Because he has many tricks of the trade, many tools. He loves to use that word doubt. If he can get that doubt to start swimming in your mind, then that fear starts to set in. Then you start hearing all those questions when you're going through such trials in your life. So if you got your Bibles, Lisa, our dear friend, she's going to post the scriptures for you. But if you got your Bible, a reading scripture for tonight will be 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. And look what he's saying here. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perish through is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight and we submit ourselves to you. And Father, we ask of you right now, while we are sitting here to listen to this message, including me, if there's anything within my mind or in my heart that I have not confessed to you before the start of this service, I ask of you right now to forgive me where I have fallen short of your precious glory. Father, I don't intend to think those things and do those things and act in those things. I should know better, but then again, you know, we're human, but we need your strength, we need your power, we need your guidance, we need your direction, we need you more than ever in our lives. And I know when we're hit with these trials, we don't like them, we don't care for them, they're upsetting, they're hard, they're difficult, but we have to remain steadfast and look up to you and look into the kingdom of heaven, knowing that you got everything under control. So again, oh Lord, forgive me where I have sinned and fallen short of your precious glory. I wish to confess to this to you so you can get rid of it, get it out of my life, in order to help me be more focused on you and less of myself. Father, I ask of you to anoint all these dear folks here tonight. Be with them, bless them, help them, put your protective hedge around them, Let them know that, hey, child, I am with you in your trials. I understand where you're coming from. I understand what you're going through. Because, again, you may not understand why I am allowing these things to happen to you, but I hope that you will understand it after y'all hear this message tonight. Father, I'm not trying to put words in their mouth from you, but this is just what I felt led to say. Because, again, examining my own heart and seeing things and having some more clarity, I see why these trials come about. And I thank you for opening my eyes to see them. So I ask of you to help these folks understand tonight with this message. Again, protect them, love them, and let them know that you love them very much. And you're with them always to the very end of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, y'all know I had to take a sip of the water, but y'all know what's going on. You seen the bot, you know, because again, the bot flashes the message title every hour, you know. But again, I always got titles to my messages, and the message tonight is called The Trials of Your Faith. The Trials of Your Faith. So imagine now, you know, you're probably thinking, well, Jim, that almost sounds like I'm in a courtroom and I'm being put on trial. Well, kind of, in a way, you may be. We're all in a trial every day, my friends, all of us. The outcome, well, that depends on how you respond. Now, you might think, wait a minute, hold on, what do you mean? Whatever trials I'm going on, the outcome may depend on how I respond. That's right, folks, because again, you know, you have to understand the reason behind everything, but you have to understand what the scriptures tells us. You have to understand what the word is telling us. And I hope throughout this message, you might start to see this, your eyes are open, and maybe you'll listen to this message again. But again, as I rewrote, and I've been talking to my dear friend Chris, you know, I've been going through a lot of things in the last 8 weeks because, again, once I started stripping myself of all those unnecessary things, I started seeing things a little bit differently of what God wants. Now, I'm not going to give you no new revelation because, again, that is unbiblical. But what I am saying, I have now focused my attention on having my relationship with him as it should be and start stripping those inner, what I call funky desires of the flesh to get rid of them and focus more on heavenly things. And that's what scripture tells us. We need to be focused on things in heaven and less of this world. So, folks, again, the title says it all. And yet, there is a mistaken idea today, and this is where many people are failing when they're enduring such trials. So I hope you understand where I'm going with this. But the mistaken idea today that if I love the Lord, if I go to church and I read my Bible, pray to God regularly, treat my neighbor justly, I am exempt from trials. Many people think that today. They think if they are doing all these things and I'm a child of God and following Jesus Christ that I am exempt from trials. Well, the opposite is true. Pay attention. The closer you get to Jesus Christ, the more you will experience trials. Let me repeat this so you get this clear. The closer you get to Jesus Christ, the more you will experience trials. That's a brass tacks question to let soak into your mind because that's facts. That's truth. And I'm not trying, you know, to make Christians look bad. Please, I'm far from it. But many out there will not admit this. Many will not tell you this. But the fact remains, folks, the holier you get And I ain't saying everybody's got some kind of special holiness, but we're all of the same Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. But the more that you strip that flesh, the more that you put that flesh to death at the cross, and that's why the cross is so important. Because you need to really, when you're talking with God and praying with God, you need to understand what the cross is all about, and you need to look at the cross. But the cross is meant to put all sin to death, all, flesh, everything. It ended at the cross, and it was finished at the cross. But there's more to that than the cross. So when you start to strip yourself and say, okay, God, I need to be more like your son, Jesus, then you're going to endure more trials. And you're going to understand when we get into it. We got a lot of ground to cover tonight, folks. We really do. Because, again, this was another one that I had to really ask some hard questions with my own self. And the truth is that trials, listen to this, the truth is that trials are allowed by God not to destroy our faith, but instead to prove that our faith is genuine. I hope you understood this, because again, trials in your life are allowed by God not to destroy your faith, but to prove that your faith is genuine. Trials are a part of the Christian life. It doesn't matter how good a Christian you are, life is going to be one trial after another. And since we, you and I, belong to Jesus Christ, each of us has a target on our back. And Satan will try to use every device he can to bring you down. You got a bullseye on your back, folks. And Satan is going to do everything within his power to bring you down. And most people are pulled down because of trials. We know a few of them. I see it a lot here in the chat room. See, they don't expect them. They don't think, well, I'm not going to have no trials. I'm a child of God. I'm exempt. I got Jesus. I got the Holy Spirit. But the fact is, all of us is going to have trials. So they get pulled down because of that. They say, well, wait a minute, Jim. Hold on a minute. Hold on, brother. I had many tell me this, but they say, well, wait a minute. Doesn't the Bible say this, that if God be for us, who can be against us? And that is true. That's true. But the reality is, you will still face trials. See, many people think, well, if God is with me, then who can be against me? Then I'm not going to have no problems. If you don't have no problems in your Christian walk, then please DM me, send me an email, or tell me your secret. I want to know. Nobody out there is exempt from trials. Everybody goes through them. And the reason why I said that the reality is you will face trials, well, again, I'm going to give you some proof to tell you and show you who is telling you that you're going to have trials. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33. He put it out there plain as day, folks. See, this is not old Brother Jim telling you this. This is our Lord and Savior telling us this. He is telling us right now, plain and simple, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. But notice what he says, in the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Now look, I'm not trying to paint a bad picture here, folks. I'm not. I'm not trying to make everybody feel all doom and gloom. I'm not trying to pop nobody's bubbles. But if you're not facing a trial right now, one will be coming. One will be coming. If you're not in a trial right now, one will. I have a dear old friend from another church. He used to tell me, he said, Jim, I'm going to give you the secret a little bit in your Christian walk. I said, oh, what is that? He said, well, listen to this. He said, either you are in a trial or you just got out of a trial or a trial is coming. Boy, when he first told me that, that kind of blew my mind. Like, well, dude, shouldn't you be encouraging me? But the reality of it was, at first, I didn't understand what he was saying. Now I do. If you hadn't figured this out, or if you've really been struggling with trials in your life, then folks, remember that, because they're going to come. They're going to happen. We can't avoid it. I wish we could, but we can't. You see, and this is the problem. Many Christians do not recognize that. They expect life really to be a bed of roses. Friends, I wish I could say it is, but it's not. I wish it was a bed of roses. I wish we never had no problems or issues. I really do. But it's not. Each one of us in our walk with the Lord should have some knowledge by now, or as the years went by, we should know that trials which caused us grief, they have a point and they exist for a reason. For the Christian believer, trials always serves a purpose. How do we know this? Well, let's look at several scriptures in the Bible, and they're going to tell us this. Now, some of you probably think, oh, I know where Jim's gone. He's gone to Romans 8:28. Sorry, no, I ain't. Hey, I use a occasional word. No, I ain't. A lot of people want to quote that verse. Yeah, you know, that's a good verse to quote when you talk to, I'm going through such a hard time. And many people can say, well, you need to read Romans 8:28. Can someone tell me what that is without actually posting the scripture in the room? But mostly, I kind of know almost all of them, not all, but a little bit. It usually says, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. But sometimes when you tell a person that when they're going through a trial, they look at you like you're kind of funny or something. Well, how can God work things together for the good in my difficulties? Well, see, that's why I don't quote that a lot. Because, again, it's a misquoted passage. They take it out of context. You have to study the passages before it and after it, and you have to take the whole part of that chapter in context. But, again, I'm going to show you tonight some scriptures in the Bible that tells us there's a purpose in our trials. The first one we're going to look at is Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. See, Lisa, you thought I was going to trip you up, huh? And give you a trial. But no, see, she was slick. She thought she was fixing to post Romans 8:28, but she held back. I saw that going. But look what it says. Which says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. I love that, folks. Character produces hope. We have hope. And not only that, look what James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4 says. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, or 2 to 4. And it says this. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various... Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Wow. Really? That's right. Already I'm showing you two scriptures that serves a purpose in our trials. But see, folks, in those passages, and even our scripture reading verse we started off with, we see that Peter describes the benefit of these trials, which distress us, and they do. But they do not prevent us from rejoicing. Yes, they may cause some distress in our lives. Yes, they may kind of trip you up from time to time. But folks, it does not prevent you from rejoicing. Oh, they test. That's right, they do. They test us. They purify us. And they prove our faith. Now, when trials come, and you need to understand this, folks, when trials do come, the believer makes a choice. You get that? When trials do come, the believer makes a choice to continue to trust in God in and through all those trials. And God continues to provide. Our faith grows stronger, or, and I've seen some people do this when enduring such trials, or we walk away. Y'all remember when Jesus was talking to all those people and a lot of them was telling him, Master, your words, what you say is too hard. And what happened? Many of them walked away. And yet, you know, he also turned to his disciples and said, well, look, if you want to go, go. I'm not forcing you to stay here. You're going to do what you want to do. I'm telling you the truth. You accept it or you reject it. If you want to go with them, take off. But they understood, but he was the master. They understood, no, Lord, we're going to stay with you. You see, that's what happens. We have to make a choice, friends. And there's many things that we have to do. We have to first, you know, captivate these thoughts. And how you captivate those thoughts? With the power and the reading of the Word. Study it. Study to prove thyself. I'm giving a little bit away to Chris, because me and Chris talk a lot, you know. But you should test. Should test the spirits. Sometimes you should test yourself. Put yourself on trial. And see if you pass. To see if you're found guilty. Oh, John, I'm not guilty. I'm not. Don't lie to me. We're all guilty. See, I caught you, didn't I? See, when I tell many people that, oh, John, I'm not guilty. I'm not on trials. Well, according to the Word, you're a liar, because we all fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners saved by grace. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see? So that's what happens. When you're in a trial, folks, you have to decide, I'm going to trust God in this. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know why. But God, I'm going to trust you no matter what. Or, just like Jesus told his disciples, hey, y'all can take off. Go. I'm not going to force you to do nothing. That's your choice. So the question we may ask in trials, and there's nothing wrong with asking questions from God. But you got to be very, very careful of how you ask the questions and how you word those questions. Because sometimes, folks, you can put God on a seat and almost judge him. And you better be very careful, because we don't have the right to judge God. But a lot of times we ask the wrong questions. We're acting like we became the judge. We better be very careful. But, so the question we may ask during trials, and I asked myself this recently, why does God test our faith through trials? Think about that one. Why does God test our faith through trials? And I had to ponder on that question for a while. Yeah, I looked at commentaries and Bible lessons. I listened to some ministers online. Sat out on the porch and drank my coffee. Looked at more books. You know, I think, boy, you know, that is a good question. Why does God test our faith through trials? When you get a chance after this message, spend some quiet time with God and think about it. But I'm going to give you a reason why God does it. And to me, my friends, there is a sense in which, listen to this carefully, please. Why does God test our faith? There is a sense in which faith must never ask why. What? Whoa, John, could you repeat that again? I will. In a sense, my friends, when you're going through trials, which your faith must never ask why. Wow. It's kind of a tall order, isn't it, brother? That's right, it is. And the reason should be, and this is something I just recently learned myself, the reason should be because faith trusts the Lord and leaves the why to Him. And yet, it is true to say that God has told us, in His words, some reasons why He does test our faith. There's some scriptures we just read. We all should know that God, my friends, takes no delight in testing His children. God takes no pleasure in testing us. None. The Bible, in fact, says Christ is sympathetic towards us in our trials, being touched by the feelings of our infirmities. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, says this, and He tells the church. I'm not going to read the whole thing, I'm just taking part of it. But see, in this passage right here, He tells the church, look, I know your tribulation and your poverty. You see, folks, that's what He's saying. He knows our tribulation. He knows. He is saying, in essence, I know what you're going through. I know. You may not understand it, but I know all about it. I know all about your trials. I know all about your hurts. I know all about your pains. I know all about it, child. And although, yes, folks, there will be one day a great tribulation unparalleled in world history as we know it in the Bible, believers must expect to suffer much tribulation even in present age, today. It is an essential that we comprehend this truth because the Lord does not test and try His people. The Lord does not test and try His people, but Scripture says, and this is what Psalm 66:10 says. It says so right there in black and white. For you, O God, have tested us, and you have tried us as silver is tried. Now, didn't I just say, well, wait a minute. It's essential that we understand the truth that the Lord does not test and try his people, but yet I just read scripture saying that's what it looks like. You have tested us, and you've tried us as silver is tried. See, I said that to see if you were paying attention. Because usually when I'm looking at a live crowd, I can see them shaking their head. Well, man, Pastor Jim must have messed that up. Yeah, I did that on purpose. I'm trying to get you to understand. I'm trying to get you to think. Because if you've been having so many difficulties in your life, if you've been having troubles, if you've been having issues, if it seemed like everything has been thrown at you, folks, the problem, you are failing to remember that God is allowing these trials for a purpose. He is going to test you. His words say so. And once again, even in accordance to our reading passage that we read in 1 Peter 1:7, it's saying your faith, be tried with fire. You see that, folks? Your faith is going to be tried with fire. You know what that fire is? The fire is the trials that you're going through. That's what's happening. You are being tested. But you want to see more? Well, look what Psalms chapter 11, verse 5 says about that. Psalms chapter 11, verse 5, which says, "The Lord tests the righteousness, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence." Whoa. Okay. Now, what am I trying to tell you in all of this? What am I trying to tell you, folks? What I'm trying to get you to understand. Simple. Everyone who follows Jesus is going to face afflictions. If you hadn't started catching on to that, you need to re-listen to this message again. Lisa does post, you know, the scriptures, but you have to be a member of Facebook to see that, but I might figure out some kind of way. But see, folks, what's going on, anybody who follows Jesus Christ is, in fact, going to face afflictions. How do I know this? Again, the Word of God says so. Psalmist also writes in Psalms chapter 34, verse 19. Which says again, there's the words, folks. Many are the afflictions of the righteousness or righteous. But the Lord, look what it says at the latter half, folks. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Whoa, woohoo. There you go, Rick. Woohoo. You understand this, friends? Sarah? Lisa? Rick? Noah? Fred? Dot? Chris? Beth? Cool. We're going through trials, yes. But my goodness, what the Lord does for us, he delivers us out of them all. Don't cave into it. God will deliver you, but it's going to be done by his way and his timing. So you need to get that fact straight in your life. So rejoice. Quit acting like you're all doom and gloom. Come on. Here we go a little further, folks. Look, I'm going to give you another scripture. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 37. Look what it says right there. It also describes that the saints suffered. Look, there it is. Look what they went through, man. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats and destitute and afflicted and mistreated. Oil was poured on him, beheaded, man, locked up in prison, thrown off cliffs, golly. But the fact is, the Bible says a great deal about suffering, trials, and troubles in the lives of believers. Again, according to the Psalmist in Psalms 88:3, he says this, "For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol." See, likewise, David himself writes of enduring great sore troubles. We know the history with David, what he went through. So, folks, I can't name a single follower of Jesus Christ who hasn't endured all these things that Scripture mentions. If you can find one that has not endured those things, send them my way because I want to talk to them. I want to talk to them. Again, Scriptures mentions trials, tribulations, troubles, affliction, anguish. See, folks, I know that I can say, along with David, I have endured sore and great troubles and trials. I have endured great troubles and trials. Have you? And I know that many of you right now who are sitting here listening to this message right now, and those who are listening to this message later on the internet, I know many of you right now who are listening to me can most likely be saying this in your mind. You know what, Jim? That sums up my life right now. I'm facing several anguishing trials and afflictions. You hit it right on the head. I've been dealing with it. And I want you to know you're not alone. You're not alone. God loves you. God knows what you're going through. God knows the hardships, the trials, the tribulations, the ups and downs of the battles you face. But you're not alone, sisters and brothers. You're not. And for this reason, every Christian has to know and accept that God has a purpose in all our sufferings and trials. No test comes into our lives without His allowing it. And one of God's purpose behind our trials is to produce in us an unwavering faith. Let me repeat that, folks. The purpose of His trials in our lives is to produce in you and I an unwavering faith. That's the purpose. Ding, 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 ding. Light bulb moment. I hope that you got it. Because many people ask, why am I going through all these trials? The answer is, if I had a Jeopardy theme plan, to produce in us unwavering faith. That's why your faith is tested, to strengthen it. It's like a muscle. If you don't work it out, it doesn't get strong, it doesn't get big, so therefore your faith gets weak. So these trials help strengthen you. And you have unwavering faith. It's difficult, it's hard, but God has it under control. When reading our scriptures, our scripture reading, what we started off with tonight in 1 Peter 1:7, folks, well, we need to understand what He's trying to tell us. We need to understand what He meant in that passage. And Peter writes again, and I love how he wrote this, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Christ. Do you understand what is that telling you, folks? Do you? Please, I hope you do. He's trying to tell you, don't be surprised at the fear of trial that you're facing. Don't be surprised at the trial that's come to test you as something strange. Oh, there's something wrong here. Oh, this ain't right. I'm sorry, folks, but yes, it is right. Because you should not be surprised. Again, as I told you earlier, you got the bullseye painted on your back. You are a child of God. Now you are at war with the inner flesh. Because you know why? The Holy Spirit is also in you. And the Holy Spirit is warring against the flesh against the Holy Spirit. And the battlefield is your mind. The mind is in the middle. So you should not be surprised at any trial that's coming at your life. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, sometimes you feel like, I quit. I can't take this no more, God. But don't give up. Don't. See, here Peter calls these experiences fury trials, plural S. Fury trials, which he says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Look what he says. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fury trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. So why do you freak out when trials happen in your life? Why do you go, everything's coming apart, I can't take this no more. Folks, I'm not trying to make fun of this, but I'm trying to help you understand. Look, don't be surprised. I can probably ask every one of you here tonight, man, y'all been through some hard stuff in the last several months. I ain't trying to put no one on a pedestal, but I heard someone telling me the other day, you know, they're having all kind of craziness happen to them. But again, this is the whole purpose of this message, to help you understand, okay, you know what? Don't worry about it. God has this thing under control. Folks, what Peter is trying to tell us here, if you don't get this, what he is trying to tell us here in the passage we just read on the screen, he wants the readers and you to know that trials are allowed by God, not to destroy our faith, but instead to prove that our faith is genuine, and trials are part of a Christian's life. Trials are a part of a Christian's life. Trials are a part of a Christian's life. Do you get it? Peter was writing to the Christians who were saved under Paul's ministry, and now they were scattered about. And he is trying to tell us even today that back then, even the families were torn apart. Men lost their jobs. They were hated. They were beaten. They were cast in prison, beheaded, hot oil pulled on them, spear rammed up through their whole body, skinned. And Peter heard the persecution that was getting to them. When they started seeing the disciples getting persecuted and hated and killed and thrown off cliffs and everything else, people started hearing, you know, about that, and they started getting persecuted because they were saying, well, I want to be a Christian, but the Romans was killing them and trying to get rid of them. And Peter heard that. He knew it was getting to them. So he had to come and encourage them and show them, look, folks, do not count this thing strange. It's going to happen. You need to make a choice. Do you want to endure this, or do you want to walk away from it? It's much like what we are seeing today, that many are persecuting and killing Christians. And folks, what we call trials today, or what we're going through compared to them, is nothing but a walk in the park to what those people in the past went through. And now what other people in other parts of this world has gone through. Yes, folks, there are Christians today that are being put to death because of their faith. It's happening. It's real. Quit hiding under that rock. And it's coming to the United States, too. It will. Give it time. Give it time. But look what Peter said. Oh, I love this. I like how you put this into wording. Peter said, sorrowful, but ever rejoicing. Well, how can this be? Wait a minute. Well, look at Paul and Silas. They were beaten and cast into prison, but they were able to sing praises and hymns at midnight. Are you singing praises in your trials? Are you singing to the Lord? Are you? In closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. I'll leave y'all with this tonight. My dear friends, listen to this. There will be seasons of trials, seasons of difficulties, seasons of disappointments, seasons of the bottom falling out, seasons of someone hurting you, seasons of your boss being nasty to you because he doesn't like you, heartaches, pain, suffering, spouses leaving you, stress, school, getting fired from your job, and many, 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 many more. Sometimes, folks, it's more, and sometimes it's less. But it's all permitted by God. It's all permitted by God. But learn one truth, most of all. Satan himself cannot march into your life and dump something on you. I hope you heard that. Satan himself cannot march into your life and dump something on you. Folks, he has to get God's approval. Remember the example of Job? He had to get God's approval then. And he does so now today. He has to get God's approval before something is dumped into your lap. So don't fight against the unavoidable. Don't fight against it. It is a part of life, and God has permitted it. To fight against those trials that you're dealing with is, and I'm sorry to tell you this and bust your bubble, but to fight against those trials that you're dealing with right now is fighting against God. Newsflash, bet you didn't think about that one, huh? Fighting against those trials is fighting against God. Now, some people will probably tell you or say, well, wait a minute, that person must have sin in their life because of what he or she has gone through. Sorry, but the fact remains, the opposite is true. You heard me say this earlier, and this is facts. The closer you are to Jesus, the more trials you will face. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for revealing that to my mind. I didn't get it. I do now. Folks, don't run. Don't quit. Just trust him. Trust him. It's not a matter of how much you love him. It's how much you trust him. And let me tell you something right now, friends. When you're going through trials, you can book this. Others are watching you. Think about that one. When you're going through trials, others are watching you. So what do they see when you are experiencing a trial? What do they see in you? What do they see? Bottom line, folks, trials will be a part of the Christian experience until Christ returns. And yes, there is a reward waiting for those who go through the trials and hardships in their Christian walk. How do I know this? How do we know this? Easy, friends. God's words tells us this. You want the proof? Well, here it is. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 through 8. There's your proof. It's in the pudding. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 through 8 says it right there. Look what Paul told Timothy. And I love this. Man, I love this passage. Wonderful. Wonderful. Timothy was a young pastor, and he was dealing with a lot of difficulties, and he was having some trials in his life too, and the people he was trying to shepherd. And Paul sent this to him to encourage the brother. And Paul told him from his own experience, look what he said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Woo-hoo! Oh, man. And you know why Paul wrote that to Timothy? Do you fully understand why he wrote this to him? And I learned this myself too when putting this message together. I didn't see it. I never saw it before like that. I never, ever. But Paul understood the eternal potential of a lifetime of faithful service to Jesus Christ. And Jesus would return with rewards for those who stick it out over the long haul. You heard that? Paul understood. He understood the potential of lifetime services to Jesus Christ. He understood the rewards for those of us who would stick it out over the long haul, regardless of the trials that we are facing. And friends, trials produces maturity, and this is why they are a blessing to us. The great exhortations of scriptures related to trials is to endure them, is to endure them, is to endure them. So when we come through the trials in our lives, we find that our faith has been stretched to several times its original size. Then and only then we own the character of God in a way we never did before. I will give you a little bit harsh reality, though. When you fail to persevere, and this is for any of us, if you fail to persevere through your trials, it is often because we have not recognized that we are actually in a trial. You get that? The reason why you fail to persevere, because you have not recognized you are actually in a trial. Order in the court. You are on trial today and have been from the day you said yes. And folks, the trial is not over. The trial is not over. God has allowed the trial. And it's not random. It's not. It's a sign of God's approval and not anger. It is not an obstacle to our growth, but ultimately, it's the fuel for it. It's not an obstacle to your faith. It's the fuel for your faith. Folks, trials are Superman wearing glasses. Amen. Let's pray.